FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is October 25th, 2016. The election is happening now with early voting, absentee balloting, but the bulk of the vote is going to take place in November. And you're probably familiar with Ed Martin, head of Eagle Forum Fund. And Ed, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's good to be with you.
Hey, so election. We had the last debate, which was actually probably one of the best debates of all time. Really gave you an insight into your candidates and where they stood, and really well-run debate when you get down to it. Chris Wallace all of Fox News's failings, really handled this thing professionally and stuck to the, wasn't biased outwardly, and really stuck to it. So what's your take on things here?
Well, listen, I think you're right about that. I mean, at its best, these debates are, from our standpoint, from where I sit, when they talk about the key issues of this moment that center around, to me, American sovereignty, issues like immigration and trade and the military and a view of the world and Americans first. And I think Trump did that in this debate. I do think that people forget politics is not policy. And a lot of what you're seeing on the Clinton side is trying to make the issues about anything other than the issue of the moment, what's actually happening, and make it about Trump and his ism and all that. And the same thing with Trump. On some level, people just know he's on their side. I think more and more what you're seeing in this country and what polls aren't reflecting is that Clinton has made a mistake. I'm going to say this, and this will be historic. She's made a mistake. Well, I'm just teasing, but I think you'll remember this one. We'll come back and talk after the election. She has tried to make Trump so socially unacceptable to people, and by that I mean telling people you're for Trump in a crowded room is so socially unacceptable that people are keeping quiet. And so polling is not showing what's happening, and people are feeling dissatisfied with the extent of the corruption. And I have to tell you, there is a theory in politics that it's called the Filer Faster theory, done by Mickey Kaus, about how the modern moment moves so fast that a problem that occurs 5 weeks out, which is what the Access Hollywood tape was, is gone. It seems like it was a decade ago. What is not gone is the 1,000 cuts of the Clinton corruption, the WikiLeaks that shows they had the debate questions before the debate from CNN. You know, they had money from entities that Hillary was making decisions about as Secretary of State. There's just a sense people are like, you know what, she's not on my side, and it's an on my side election, and we've got 2 weeks to go or so, and people are frankly surging towards the outsider, and I think that's why you're going to see a historic election. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be an election of historic proportion. He's going to win by more than people understand. You can feel it on the ground.
Well, look, and Ed, people will not put on Trump for president bumper stickers on their cars. They don't want them keyed. They won't put up the yard signs. They don't want their houses vandalized. So, and they won't answer polls truthfully. And then the other thing is, in Florida, 25% of the people who voted during the primary hadn't voted in the last four elections, which was unprecedented. We never saw an election where that happened before. So you look at this, I know it's anecdotal, but it's got to make a difference.
Yeah, look, that's right. I mean, this is in American history, we're at a turning point moment. And I'm not talking most people that are on the ballot. I ran for office twice, and my old boss, Phyllis Schlafly, did too. She's often said that's one of the most important experiences to have been a candidate and actually lose. When you lose, you study why you did it. When you win, you think you're a genius. But we've never had a moment like this in American life. We're at a turning point in a way that's not only the election, but sort of institutions. And the choices are, this is going to sound counterintuitive, but it's right. The choices are the Trump optimism about America's greatness that includes inner cities and Hispanics and gays and others, and or the Clinton diminishing of people and institutions. And so that's the choice. And what's happening is people are surging towards the guy who's saying, look, we are an optimistic place. And it's very, very dangerous. It's very, very scary what Hillary Clinton's done. She's the worst of American political life. It's counterintuitive in a way. They've tried to make Trump the one that says they're scared of. Hillary Clinton is destroying communities right now by how she is running her campaign and what's being shown, paying people to cause violence at another political, this is revealed now. This is not just a fake. This is Project Veritas. Right.
We knew
emails.
It.
They do it. They pay people to cause violence. Now, maybe, Mayor Daley did that back in Chicago, but we never saw it so starkly, and we never saw it at this level.
And we never had the proof.
You're right. People are afraid of the Clinton bullies and of Clintons as bullies. You know, tell it to the women that were abused by Bill Clinton. They know what it's to be bullied. Well, that's what most Trump voters are feeling like they'll be done. So it's a dangerous time in that sense. But mostly the great thing is, look, Donald Trump will be viewed in history as so important. And one of the ways he was so important is, think about it, for the last week and a half since the debate, all the mainstream media and all the left and some of the moderates have said, we must respect the elections. We must respect the decision of the people. Well, I'm telling you, the people on November 8th are going to side for Trump. And then he's going to turn to all those establishment and lefties and Democrats and Republicans and say, you're right. We have to respect the elections and the people. And that's going to help us heal because we need it after what Hillary and the media are doing to us.
Yeah. Well, the media, how are they going to recover from this? They're all in. Not doubled down, tenfold down on Hillary. So what happens if they lose here? Are they ever going to recover here?
Look, I mean, I'm kind of a bit, I try to be more optimistic about the moment. You know, I think, first of all, I'm an optimist. You know, Phyllis Schlafly, and
sure,
when she passed away on September 5th, I tell people what was her mindset. She had this incredible gift of joy that came from her faith. You know, mm-hmm. Ultimately, the race is won, you know, if you're a believer in the Lord and Jesus like I am and Phyllis was. So there's an optimism that permeates who you are and how you think about it. But I do think it's a key moment. You know, when Phyllis Schlafly did an interview in December of last year, 2015, and she was asked about Trump's, how he had centered the Republican primary on immigration and trade. And she said about him, he may be the last hope for America. In other words, if you don't get these things under control, immigration and trade, American sovereignty, you just are transforming America fundamentally for good. And that's what Obama wanted. Obama said, we're going to transform America. Well, the transformation is going on, and the question is whether we can stop it. And I think, if Trump didn't win, I think he will, but if he didn't win, there'll be other ways we can keep going and keep doing it, but it gets harder and harder.
Yeah, well, but the media itself, for the first time, more than half the people are getting their info from the internet, from alternative sites. I mean, look, Trump just started a news channel on Facebook. I mean, that's dramatic. I don't know how that's going to help his electoral chances, perhaps dramatically so, but that could very well continue on after the election. And we could see the emergence of new news networks that are really social network based. I mean, he's really taken ownership of the news media when you look at what he's done over the past year and a half.
Yeah, Phyllis chuckled one time when she said how she loved to watch Trump infuriate the media and the establishment, especially. And in our book, The Conservative Case for Trump, there's a chapter called Political Correctness Kills. It talks about how political correctness is used actually to the disadvantage of the poor and others with things economic policies worldwide and all these regulations. But what Phyllis was chuckling about was, when the demand comes from the media to double down, to apologize, Phyllis would just laugh because Donald Trump never fell for it. I mean, he stood for what he believed. He's not always politically, kind of attuned to what professional politicians do. He just says what he thinks, like the rigged election question. He said, sure, let me wait till the election and see. I mean, who wouldn't work their life off for a year and a half and want to wait and see how the election goes before you concede it's all perfect? You know, as I pointed out on MSNBC last week, a few days ago, actually, what we know is this. The debate was rigged by CNN giving debate questions to Hillary. We know that the primary was rigged. It's been revealed that the Democrat National Party on the Democrat side rigged it against themselves. We know that some elections have been rigged. We know that some of the bailouts were rigged. We know that a lot of things were rigged. Why would an election, a national election where the balance of power for the world be hanging in the balance, why would that be exempt? You know, why would people cheat on a math test that means only a little bit, you know, kids, when there's an opportunity, you know, as Willie Sutton said, the famous bank robber, you know, Sutton's maxim was, they said, why do you rob banks? And he said, that's where the money is.
Yeah.
You know, why would you rig something of importance? That's where the power is. So when Donald Trump said that, the media went wild. And instead of doing what most politicians did, Paul Ryan did it, you know, others did it. They said, oh, well, no, the elections are going to be fine. They're legitimate. Trump said, look, we're going to look at it. We're going to understand that corruption is everywhere. So what's beautiful about it is it's like Trump is creating space in which Americans can breathe. They can say the truth about things. Another example, if you live in a city, and I did live in St. Louis for 20 years, St. Louis City, and I love living there. But for 2/3 of the city, mostly black and brown families, you know, black African Americans and Hispanics and others, it's a disaster. Oh, the school system's a disaster. The services are a disaster. And I was able to make a work for my family because I was able to pay for private schools and all these things. Well, when Donald Trump says to African Americans, they've counted your vote every 4 years and then they never come back. Mm-hmm. They know, people know that. They know that's true. They look around and they say, what a failure of a society to do this. So it's a wonderful, exciting thing to say. Even to be honest, the attacks on women have been, if you look closely, the left tries to objectify women. And, you know, it's a cynical thing to do that's so demeaning to everybody. And it's so false because over there is Hillary Clinton, who has been abusive to women that have talked about sexual assault. She's been abusive to women that have said that there's rape in their life. And the public looks up and goes, what kind of hypocrite? So the question becomes after this election is what's left of the mainstream media? Now they're pushing polling as if they know the race is over, when everybody else you talk to, especially in the 6 or 7 swing states, say it's all up for grabs. It's all up for grabs. So it's very cynical and destructive.
And hey, I want to ask you about that. As far as, you know, what Trump has said about Hillary, what's come out about her? What is the country thinking about here? The level of corruption here that's been exposed is mind-numbing here, Ed. I mean, everything they touch is just completely corrupt. I mean, what is it here? Am I the only one seeing it? Or are you and I the only ones? I mean, and, you know, like you said, they take the black vote for granted. How much of the African-American vote you think Trump realistically can get here?
Well, listen, the fact is that I think more of those groups, more of the, you know, the Democrats want to divide us into groups, and they say, oh, African-Americans over here. Right. Well, by the way, in the last, you know, 15 or 20 years, you have more African-Americans who are into the educated class than there before, you know, just like anything else. You know, you have more Hispanics, we have more, we're in the St. Louis area, we're more Bosnians, all sorts of groups. If you put them in groups, they don't vote one way or the other, of course, but they want to do that. But I will say this, there are more people who look up and think that the game is rigged. You know, Wall Street, trade, immigration, the law is available for manipulation by people like Hillary. I'm going to lie to the FBI. I'm Hillary Clinton. I'll lie to the FBI and I won't get in trouble. You know, you lie to your local sheriff, you find yourself in jail, you know, in normal. So people are saying, more and more people are looking up and reacting to that, I think. And I think that's going to be the transformative issue, you know, in the sense that it's not so much that people, the American dream was always based on a nation that the rule of law allowed everybody a chance to rise. It didn't mean you could always rise. If you were born poor, it didn't mean you always could, but you always made it. But it meant you had a chance. And people are thinking the chance is going away with people like Hillary. You know, there's a movie, the Hunger Games movie. I never read the books, but the Hunger Games movie, if you've seen it, was very popular. It's kind of dark in ways. But the premise is the Capitol. has all the money and all the wealth and caviar and food and all these right. things, and the states, the I forget the name, the provinces are out, and everybody's sort of on their own. That's what it feels like. It feels like we're in a Hunger Games moment where it's Donald Trump leading the band of people who thought American sovereignty meant we the people came first, and we're up against both parties, establishment, and the kingmakers, like Phyllis wrote about 50 years ago, who are trying to give us their choice, not who we think should be president.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really true. And, you know, I think there is an awakening, though. I think he's going to do better with African Americans than the last two candidates did, for certain. I think there's a respect for him from the apprentice and from his accomplishments in those communities. Because, hey, if you're entrepreneurial, if you have aspirations, you want to be like Donald Trump, right? Isn't that what you're looking for?
And look, and the difference is that at this moment, as someone said about this election, the fact is that in some ways, we will not again maybe have a modern candidate who for president who escapes the glare of their sins. In other words, you know, if you could go back and shine the Twitter Klieg lights on Abraham Lincoln, would you know more of his foibles in a way that made you think, well, geez, guy seemed kind of dark, you know? I mean, did he have bouts of depression? You'll know that at the time of the election. So some of the diminishing of both Trump and Clinton, when people look up at them, they think, oh my gosh, these people are not, they're not very nice and not very, it's a modern phenomenon. It's a little bit like in the old days, my father used to tell a story that it was Kennedy that transformed TV for campaigning, because once you started to see Kennedy's handsomeness and his no hat, he didn't wear a hat, that was a big thing, and people, then it became a movie star contest, you know? Well, we've transformed it yet again, and it's a race to the bottom. But as you say, when people look up, it's a binary choice. Forget third parties and fourth parties, it's a choice. And they look up and they say, who's on my side? And you look at Trump and you say, no matter what, how he started his life, he had setbacks, he's had marriages that didn't work, you get a sense of a real guy who's on our side. And that's what I think comes through. You know, my wife is often tells me elections all come down to popularity, which is tough since they've made both seem so unlikable in the media and all. But I think when you've done, people say, yeah, he's kind of on my side. He has a vision of the America that I believe in, and I'm going to go for that. And I think that's why 2 weeks out, you're going to see this thing break towards Trump and end up significantly so.
Well, Ed, I hope you're right. Just tell us where we find your work and how we connect with you on the internet.
Well, you can always go to eagleforum.org is our website. You can also go to email me directly at ed@eagleforum.org, ed@eagleforum.org. I'm on Twitter at Eagle Ed Martin on Twitter, and Facebook, Eagle Ed Martin Live. And we're around all over the place. Phyllis Schlafly is our founder and leader, and a lot of her writings are out there, weekly columns, and do a lot out there. So I look forward to connecting with folks.
Yeah, and Phyllis will be missed for sure. She really laid out the arguments that you've been enunciating here, and the conservative argument for America. So, Ed, thanks so much for coming on. You'll find a link to Ed's site in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. Ed, we'll talk to you again after the election. Be well, my friend, and let's hope you're correct.
Okay, thanks very much. God bless you. See you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.